Off the Ball Breakfast.
It's hard to be a lover of Irish football at the moment because ultimately it goes back to the FAI. You've got to clean their act up, and I think they tried to do that.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Welcome along. It is Will O'Callaghan with you on this Monday on Off the Ball. We've got a stack show between now and 10 p.m. Football show. We're looking back on a late equaliser for Arsenal against Man City in the Premier League. Jonathan Wilson is going to be with us later this hour. He's not going to talk about why he thinks that Iriola would be perfect for Manchester United should Ruben Amorim leave the club. We'll be talking Kate O'Connor largely after 8 o'clock, her silver medal at the World Championships, becoming just the sixth Irish athlete ever to get on the podium at the Worlds. Historic achievement for her. Cliona Foley is going to be with us to talk about that. Also, McPhillips going so close to a medal in the 800 metres as well. Tommy Rooney's going to be looking back at the best of the club action from the weekend, including a certain Bill Murray arriving to watch a Clare Intermediate hurling game at the weekend. Delighted to say Michael McCarthy is here with me. How are you, Mick?
I'm grand, Will. I have to say, if I was a Man United fan, I'm not the biggest Amorim or United fan, as people know, but I think I'd be a little bit irked to hear after they've beaten Chelsea that we're starting. The first thing we say in the show is that Iriola is coming in to take his job.
So to put this in context, the article about Iriola was written before the Chelsea game at the weekend by Jonathan, but he makes some interesting points as to why he's a good fit. He thinks Glasner would also be a great fit if he was to leave Crystal Palace, a bit like Mark Gay next summer. And Iriola is also nearly has his contract up. It's up next summer as well.
Look, this is the reality of life, you know. Yeah. This is you can't be living on sentiment just because you beat Chelsea.
Stephen Gleeson is with us, making his debut on the News Round as well. Stephen, how are you keeping?
Good, lads. Good to be here.
Excellent stuff. We will talk about the football in a lot of detail later. Mick is going to be with me for the football show. We'll bring Nathan Murphy in as well to look at the weekend that's just gone. I don't know. I mean, the Premiership of the weekend, it was fine, I would say. It didn't particularly stir me.
Yeah,
no, Colm and Ger were saying the same this morning.
I think that's a fair enough assessment. Yeah, I think that what we had in the big match yesterday was intrigue rather than necessarily excitement. But, you know, it was a big enough game and there was enough going on with the tactics and everything of both teams that I think we were able to stay with it. But yeah, it wasn't exactly one that you were writing home about coming in here today. You know, water cooler talk. Did you see that match? It wasn't quite that. I think Saturday night was close enough to that. Fulham and Brentford, no. Chelsea and Manchester United.
I thought you were genuinely going to go there and go, yeah, it looks like maybe the wheels are off for Brentford now.
It was like the rain and, you know, the matchup, the, you know, even just those colours against each other and the absolute pissings of rain. It just gave me very kind of like winter Super Sunday in the early 2000s or late 90s vibes. Mm. You know, just kind of getting home and getting in for the sort of, you know, it's dark before it's time. Old Trafford games, you know,
despite
were as feisty, but generally of a higher standard.
We didn't get the blood and thunder in the same way, though. I kind of was the same as you. I thought sometimes when the grass is nice and wet and slick and the atmosphere is up, people are going to go thundering into tackles. Even though we had two red cards. Well, Casemiro gets two cheap yellows.
Keeper tried his best.
Yeah, and Sanchez gets sent off for a moment of stupidity 4 minutes into the game. But it wasn't like as if, you know, both these teams went at each other too hard at the weekend.
Fair enough, yeah. Look, it was what it was. Like, there are two teams in constant crisis, it seems to me, and Chelsea can get out of it and then seem to put themselves head first back into it pretty quickly, whereas United are kind of always there. So like, it was that, but it was just a general kind of excitement to it, and then we were hanging on. But yeah, your overall point is dead right. Merseyside derby, as because it was a 12:30 kickoff on a Saturday morning, was never going to excite in the way that it did last season in the final Goodison one, for example. You know, the Tarkowski equaliser midweek at night time
when
all
that
football should be played.
I think that was just one of those games where it felt like Everton were determined not to lose the last derby at Goodison, so no matter what they were going to get a result. I kind of felt that Liverpool, even though again they led a team back into a game, they were so impressive in the first half. They really went through that left channel of the Everton defence, scored the two goals basically from that side.
Yeah.
And I just thought they looked reasonably comfortable.
We were also, I think, as a nation, and certainly myself in my house, a little bit distracted during the second half of the Liverpool-Everton game and weren't giving it the attention I would normally give it.
So I, again, had it basically on the laptop and I was watching the Atletico coverage.
100%.
We're all like, this was the now.
Well, I mean, when it came to, you know, our guarantee after the amazing. So overnight, you know, you wake up and you're thinking like, She's dropped the fort. Don't worry, Carl Dennehy is telling me it's okay. It was a good long jump. She's almost certain for a medal now. And you're like, whoa, better than I initially thought. Okay, great. Going to watch now the javelin. She throws a PB in a javelin. First throw. Unbelievable stuff. Five personal bests out of seven events, by the way. And she throws her this javelin that, like, it's funny. I saw it, you know, after I literally just seen the, she had, someone else had thrown one. Then they, or the panel showed her one. And I was like, whoa, it's like 50 yards further. Brilliant. Okay. Guaranteed silver, basically, at this stage. We can relax. We can enjoy the 800 meters. And then they turn off, they go to the coverage, and suddenly it's like, ah, she's injured. Oh my God. If she walks around, she might make it, but I don't know if she can walk around. And it's like, no. And it goes over. Right, I don't know, we're here in Dublin. Let's go over to Greg Allen and hope he has some more information for us. I do have more information. It's a significant injury. And just the fear of it. It was like we couldn't just enjoy a guaranteed silver medal. No, that wouldn't be Irish enough.
Yeah.
We had to have a crisis just beforehand and make sure that it was a surprise. And maybe it was all better for it.
I thought the panel did a really good job, by the way.
Oh, they were superb.
They were in this awkward position whereby the world feed was naturally showing other finals that were taking place in the stadium. So it was like Greg had to keep you up to date on what he had seen, but also they didn't see some of the things that were happening within the heptathlon. So it kind of felt like, yeah, don't mind that 400 metres final. Here's what's happening with Kate O'Connor at the moment. And it was just like, right, okay. So I did a combination of social media and trying to see what was happening. I thought they actually did a really good job of keeping the excitement going. Have you been sold on the heptathlon after her heroics this
year? Oh, I think it's an amazing sport, you know. And I mean, like, it's so different for an armchair fan who can watch a lot of sports and go, I could try that. God, I could head that ball in from 6 yards. But something like that, you know, you have so many sports, you have so many disciplines to be excellent in. Like, that's a really hard thing to do. And the fact that, you know, she's at her height there when you're looking at personal bests and hitting it in so many different grades, I mean, that is just exceptional, I think. And to train for that, like, I mean, what routine do you go through? Which one do you do first if you're warming up? Like, you know, how does it all happen? And then the injury, as you said there, to throw that into the mix, like, that just adds to the drama. And when you have someone injured like that, all of a sudden, you know, you're on their side. And I think that really added to it for everyone watching and for, you know, the Irish public. I mean, there's a new superstar now, and that's brilliant, I think, for everyone, Irish. And another one of these stars up and coming, like Charlene was last year, Rashida as well. You know, now you have a new star again.
Yeah, it's new generation.
There's nothing like, I think anyway, and I think we've forgotten it for so long up until, you know, I don't know whether it was maybe the Europeans a couple of years ago where we had the relay and we had Ciara McGeehan's gold and stuff like that, and then into the Olympics. And there's nothing like international athletics when you've got someone relevant, you know. And I just think it's like my childhood, I just like, is just watching Sonia, you know. And that's like, it's so embedded in just this excitement of like, how's the race going to go. And we had it again on Saturday, and it's brilliant. And then we had it obviously with McPhillips then as well afterwards in the 800 metres, and what an unbelievable run he had. But just going back to your point about the panel, like, there was a kind of an old school, like, what RTE kind of miss a little bit in their panels at the moment is just a kind of a bona fide A team that are there all the time, and you know what the biggest events are going to be having. And they obviously, with the athletics coverage, they went with that. And they had the Cork takeover for, you know, all of the coverage. And what you got with that was you got the story of the way, you know, and that I just feel it's missing from the GAA, and it's missing from the rugby, and it's missing especially, I think, from the international soccer, where you're getting that feel for, you know, the story that they're telling, the way they feel about something. You don't need the big introductions because they're already halfway through almost. And what they brought then was like full real emotion at the end, but before in their fear and afterwards in their pride, you know. Like, there was a couple of times but they'd have to stop talking because they were just getting choked up and the eyes were welling. It's just like, that's just what I want to see on television. That's what I want our Irish sports moments to be captured by. And we have gone away from it for various reasons, and there's good reasons for that and bad reasons for it. But my God, if you're not sold on the need for like a really strong, involved and A-class panel after watching that on Saturday morning, then I don't know if it's for you.
The emotion is serious like that. You know, when you get that and everybody is in and everyone is engaged, you know, we haven't got that really in Ireland, I think, within sport on an international stage for far too long. Mm. So when you do have that, it is brilliant. And it's kind of like, you know, going back to Giles and Dunphy back in the day, and Bill O'Herlihy, that energy and that kind of, you know, link up play. And I suppose the athletes have that, the ex-athletes, and the energy is there then. Everything surrounding is good.
To your point on that, like I love David Gillick's work as well, and I think Gillick is in this wonderful position where
he's such a huge part of that.
Get so much more out of the athletes because they know him, and they know that he has experience in this. So it's very different to a journalist being standing there at the finishing line. And even I found over the last week, he was talking to athletes from other countries, and they've massively opened up to him when they came across. Because it was like, all right, this guy knows what he's talking about. He's been here, he's done this, he knows the experience, and therefore he actually adds to it massively. And what I found was I was staying around to watch a lot of the post-race interviews because it was Gillick who was going to be chatting to them. I thought to O'Connor's massive credit as well, she was saying she could have settled for bronze. You know, the knee was obviously troubling her, and she was like, no, I'm going to push for silver. I was like, okay, so let's get as far up the podium as you possibly can. And that to me, I don't know, there's massive credit to be had in that too when you battle through the pain, and she deserves this. Usually the year she's had has just been absolutely crazy. If you want to get in touch, by the way, the WhatsApp line is 087-9180-180. Of course, you can text as well on 53106. Dermot Keenan also in contact. The match of the weekend was in the NFL. The Eagles beating the Rams in a mad finish to the game. Is Mick heading to Crow Park this Sunday, all importantly, for Steelers versus Vikings? So I'm going to sit in the stands on a day off. You're going to be in the press box.
Yeah.
Level 7 at Crow Park.
I know, yeah. God, I haven't been there in a while. I hope I can find my way. They don't send me out to much, but they've decided to send me out to this one. So, yeah, look, I mean, that'll be a bit of fun. By the way, the Eagles and Rams game was absolutely bananas. Not to like take over with an NFL talk.
Don't worry, Keane was trying to sell me this. I was like, I was in bed, Keane.
So what happened here, right, was that the Rams, the Eagles Super Bowl champions and so on, and, you know, look kind of like boringly unstoppable this year, and then the Rams went out and destroyed them, and they were winning by like 20 points at one stage in the late third quarter, early fourth quarter. The Eagles get back into it heroically, but then like it's almost like there isn't enough time, so there's a field goal to win the game for the Rams. The field goal is blocked and returned for a touchdown.
Yeah.
There was so the Eagles were winning by a point, but time is up. So this is like basically, but the biggest thing was for all the bettors, who was like a 3.5 points. The Eagles were favored by 3.5 points. So no matter what happened with the field goal, they were going to beat the spread, unless for absolutely no reason, a giant 400-pound man picks up the ball and runs 100 yards in for a touchdown that he doesn't need. Could only happen in the NFL.
We'll talk about a lot more in detail later in the week, but are you looking forward to going to NFL Crow Park?
I am, yeah.
As it's officially known.
To an extent, yeah. Like I think there's a, I think there's a real conversation to be had around the NFL.
And the way they embrace Americana.
Well, I just think, yeah, I think there's a little bit of that. We had Dave Zirin in last week and he articulated it better than I ever would. But I think there's a real conversation to be had around it. At the same time, it's a sport I watch all the time. It's a sport I genuinely love for the sport of itself rather than necessarily everything that goes with it. And it is kind of incredible that it's coming here and that it's the focus of next week in so much of, like, in the biggest sport in America, the focus is going to be the Ireland game this week. So, like, I've kind of, I suppose, just complicated feelings about it. But in terms of actually seeing the game, NFL's a weird sport in person. Mm. You know what I mean? I feel you miss out on so much by almost not watching it on TV.
Yeah, I was going to say TV helps a lot.
The atmosphere can be good, but it can be annoying. You know, it's not our culture of watching sport. It's quite different, and when people don't watch American football, they say, oh, it's too stop start, it goes on for too long, and I just don't feel that way. I kind of like there's a groove to watching a game that doesn't bother me at it, and I've been to a few over the years in America and in London. It's very annoying. Mm-hmm. It feels like there's no flow or groove to it.
It makes you very aware of the actual time that the studio fills when you're watching it on TV.
Yeah, or the actual time that the players have to stand around and wait for, like, a ref comes on, stands in the corner, you know, on the 10-yard line or something, and waves when it's time to go when the TV is back. Like,
I remember being at a game in Crow Park before, and it was just stop-start, you know. It was like people waiting for something to happen for far too long. And I suppose in this country, we're probably used to Gaelic games there at Crow Park and, you know, a score every few seconds. And it wasn't like that at all that time. But Dublin is hopping. Just walking up here today, you know, they're selling Steelers flags and everything on the, you know, on O'Connell Street. And you've got a touchdown painted there outside Dublin Castle on the road, and you've got a lot of stuff just happening and posters going up. And oh, the energy is great around Dublin, I have to say, this week. And it's all leading to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It is a huge occasion, like, you know, and it's definitely a, regardless of kind of the rights and wrongs of it, it is an amazing advertisement for the city of Dublin, you know?
I saw with the college football last year as well. It's effectively Falls Ireland on TV, yeah, right, when they're showing all the cutaways and everything. And that's generally been the case with the international games. So, yeah, I think they're here to stay. I think sixth this season in the NFL that they're going internationally.
Oh, it might even be more. There's like at least two games in Germany. They've already played in Brazil. Mm-hmm. There's a game in Mexico. So I think it might be even six countries rather, yeah, than, I think, is there a game in Spain?
There is, Madrid.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think it might be six countries and far more. That's than crazy. Six international games. Yeah,
I see the Chiefs are already talking about potentially coming to Dublin next year if they, yeah, were to be the designated home team. So we'll see what happens there.
You could see it with the Premier League, and you could see the Gaelic games down the line. What would
I
be,
don't know.
We're going to see it in New York anyway. Championship.
It looks like La Liga is going to Miami for this Christmas, unless La Liga are able to block it from happening. So,
but if you are a kind of a half an NFL fan, it's like, it's, you know, the game has fallen well. It's Aaron Rodgers playing for the Steelers. Doesn't look like a complete robot quite yet. You know, he might not have the arm he used to have, but he's playing okay, at least for the start of the season. So he's still upright anyway. So you get to see Aaron Rodgers in person. You get to see Justin Jefferson, who's probably one of the best, biggest superstar receivers who plays for the Vikings. And you get TJ Watt, who's probably one of the most famous and best defensive players in the NFL. So there's three real stars there that are kind of going to jump off the page a little bit to you if you're kind of a half NFL watcher.
Just on it, I was in Crow Park last year, Steelers watch party. I think they were playing the Chicago Bears.
Right, this time last year, yeah.
It was packed out in Crow Park up on, I think it was the fourth or fifth floor, and great energy. You know, the bars going, food being served, people there dressed up completely, towels being waved in the air. The whole thing was hopping, you know, and great atmosphere for it. And I suppose that was the lead up to this in some respects. And that was a big success. And you're going to see people arriving into Dublin for it as well, from across Europe, I'd imagine, as well as America.
Yeah, no, I think particularly the NFL community here in Ireland, who, you know, are not the biggest, but have always been massive supporters, is a growing group of people as well. There's a massive weekend for them coming as well. The News Round is brought to you by UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, you can choose us to help you get back to action. Where are we starting with on the News Round, Stephen?
Start with the League of Ireland. So the SSE Airtricity Premier Division is underway again tonight with a round of games. Shamrock Rovers can move one step closer to the title tonight, and Stephen Bradley's side are away to Waterford, and they know that a win will move them 10 points clear at the top of the table with six games to play. It's also an important night in the race for European places, with St. Pat's, Shells and Drogheda United all level on 43 points, 7 points off the automatic places for Europe. So Pat's host bottom side Cork City tonight at Richmond Park. Drogheda are at home to Shells. Galway United and Sligo Rovers meet at Eamon DC Park, and all the matches are underway there at 7:45.
Stephen will be keeping up to date on them throughout the evening as well. That Galway Sligo game is massive. Only a goal difference between them at the moment in the second bottom position, which is the playoff spot and the relegation. We have our own Ben Symes outside watching the TV, and the fact that I see no updates within our channel at the moment would indicate that the classic thing is happening at the Ballon d'Or, where they've got to the top 10 and you can wait until about 7:45 to find out who's actually going to win. But who is the favourite to win it tonight, Stephen?
So Paris Saint-Germain forward Ousmane Dembele is among the favourites to win the Ballon d'Or tonight. And it's been revealed earlier that he has won it, but that just is all speculation at this stage, and we'll just have to wait and see. Mbappe and Mo Salah are also other players that are there and have been nominated for the award. So a lot of excitement there regarding that. And
so Mick disagrees with this, because I know we had this conversation outside. I thought that Dembele was nailed on, purely because he was PSG's most important player last season.
Was he though?
I think he was.
Okay.
I know towards the end of the Champions League, and that's where all the focus is, other players stepped up.
Well, you're not going to win a Ballon d'Or for being good in Ligue 1.
I know, well, that's the thing.
Or Kylian Mbappe would have four or five of them at this stage.
If they won Champions League, he'd have won, though.
I see what you're saying, and I do feel like that's become the consensus, but I feel like that we missed something along the way, like, because this is supposed to be an individual award, and fair enough, usually that might go to the team that wins the Champions League or whatever, but, like, Paris Saint-Germain won with, like, I watched, I'd say, every game in the knockout after the last, whatever it was, 32 game or whatever against Brest, and they had a different star in every game. Kvaratskhelia was brilliant in some games. Dembele was, don't get me wrong, but it was all over the pitch as well. And I just didn't see him as the standout world's best player last year. I have to say, like, I don't think he's anywhere close to it. Like, and if you're being honest with yourself, and this is one of the things people say, oh, it's picking the most famous or picking the celebrity in the way they did with the Ronaldo, Messi, especially in the later years. But the most influential player on any team last year was Lamine Yamal.
Possibly,
yeah, but you can almost forget, like, the influence Yamal was having in the latter stages of the Champions League, where he was, like, dragging Barcelona through, and when they did, like, it's not his fault that they conceded four goals, and no. Like, you know, and that they kept letting Inter Milan win this, like, back into it, and they won this miracle game. Like, he was having the superstar performances that if they happened to win, we'd be talking about forever. Yeah. So I just don't understand why in an individual award, that doesn't come into it more than, oh, he was just about maybe probably the best player on the best team.
Youngest player to score in the Champions League as well last year, Yamal. He's definitely a runner, but I think it's very hard to judge when the likes of Dembele is in this team of superstars. But
Dembele is great, I just don't think he's
I think it's one of those things,
the best player in the world. You know?
So if Barcelona ultimately had won that game against Inter Milan, I think they win the final. They win the final. This is a straight argument between Rafinha, who was 14 goals in the Champions League last year.
Rafinha is a fair point, yeah.
And
in the year he had as well, because you're talking about player of the year.
Yeah.
And that was the ultimate purple patch of a season for any player. Like.
Yeah. I think as well there is a tendency to feel that Lamine can't win it yet because of the fact that he's so young.
Yeah, if you're a teenager, I suppose it's like, he's going to have the next few years.
Yeah. No, there is that too. Tell us about the Athletics, just jumping slightly ahead there, Stephen, before we wrap up on the news round, because we will have Jonathan Wilson with us in a few minutes as well.
Yeah, Dundalk is still celebrating Kate O'Connor's silver medal at the World Athletics Championships at the weekend. The Louth superstar won Ireland's sixth ever medal with a top-class performance in the heptathlon, which was won by Anna Hall. Along the way, the Irish athlete set personal bests in five of seven disciplines across Friday and Saturday. And despite picking up a knee injury in the long jump, two of her personal bests arrived late on in the javelin and the 800 metres, and she finished with 6,714 points, which is a new national record as well. And also in athletics, there was heartbreak in the end for Keane McPhillips. The 23-year-old narrowly missed out on a medal in the 800 metres, and he broke his own Irish record along the way. And after winning the opening two rounds and breaking the national record twice, he was out of the blocks at a conservative pace in the final. But in the final 200 metres of that, he began to overtake the pack, and the Longford man set a new national record in the final as well, 1:42.15, and missed out on a medal by just 0.8 of a second.
He said as well he's determined to win a world medal in 2 years' time. He feels the best is still yet to come. We'll be talking to Cliona Foley about the Athletics just after 8 o'clock as well. Jonathan Wilson's going to be with us in a few minutes to talk about the football and the Premier League from the weekend just gone by. But Stephen, thanks a million. Stephen's going to keep you up to date for the rest of the evening. Mick's going to be back with me for the football show after 9 o'clock as well. That's it for the news round. Time for the cash machine.
The news round on Off the Ball
with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.